You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 10th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Imran, the Don Khan.
Howdy, Blessing.
Imran, it's your final KFGD with me specifically.
Yes.
As a host. And I am very sad.
I am also, like, I was just talking to Kevin, like, I'm extremely sad to leave, but, you know, I will still be here as much as possible. And, like,
yeah.
I'm very excited that, you know, you've chosen today to play Resident Evil 7 on stream. So,
I've definitely not chosen.
Wait, isn't that today?
Yeah,
is it tomorrow?
No. He plays streams tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah. But I'm not playing. To be clear for the audience, I'm not playing RE7 tomorrow. I'm probably gonna play.
I don't know.
Apex.
Can we get an RE7 chat? Like,
I think we need, like, Chad is convinced you're playing RE7. I think it's really shitty to disappoint them now.
Yeah.
After you've already promised that you're going to do it tomorrow.
There it is.
And Ron, you're trying to tug at the disappointment strings. Let me tell you, I don't care when I disappoint people. I feel like I disappoint people daily, and I don't mind it at all. I go to sleep at night. I sleep like a baby. I wake up, and I'm like, man, I wish I could have more sleep because I'm sleeping so well because I do not give a fuck about disappointing people.
You know,
there's no RE7 stream coming.
The obvious end result of this is going to be that you're going to go play it one day, and I'll just forget, and I will not show up. And I will just be like, all right, whatever.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
If I just decided to stream RE7, but I turned off all notifications on my personal Twitch channel, didn't tweet about it, nobody came. It's like a 10-person audience just watched me play RE7, and that's it. I don't promote it at all. And
the
I come back and I'm
deleted.
Like, oh, I did it. Delete the VOD. Yeah.
That'd be
the perfect way to,
like,
do it.
I feel like if you do that, you'd get big numbers. Because, like, one person would make a big deal about it, and then, like, that would be excitement, and it would just blow up.
Maybe. Possibly. We did hit the goal for the thermometer in our second January stream, where me and Andy are both going to play a scary game on stream. And I've talked to Snowmike Mike about this a little bit. I think there might be a goal on, like, the streaming thermometer or whatever, like the meter, for me to play RE7. I don't know if that's confirmed or if I'm leaking things right now, but
that might be
fun. There are certain ways maybe that you could get me to play RE7, but it's not planned. It's not, I'm not doing it tomorrow. I'm not doing it next week.
Have work.
I'm just gonna keep Snowbike Mike and Greg for like the next couple of months and be like, so Blessing's playing RE7 tomorrow, right? And we'll just see what happens.
The only way I'm playing RE7 is if people give me money to play RE7.
People are giving you money to play video games, right? Like, this is, people are your bosses.
If people give me more money, I'll play RE7. I don't know. That's something that we'll have to wait and see on. But I have no plans as of now to play RE7. I do have plans, though, to talk about video game news with you, Imran, because today's stories for KFGD include Epic Games' MetaHuman creator, Ubisoft relying less on AAA, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, at the patreon.com/kindafunnygames, or bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you. It's a huge week here at Kinda Funny. Let's start off with Barrett, who's back at it like a bad habit after releasing Zelda in review last year. Barrett immediately started working on Assassin's Creed in review, a Kinda Funny Games in review special, where he played through all 12 mainline games throughout 2020, wrote his reviews for each one, and then ranked them, and then compiled it all into one 2-hour video for your viewing pleasure, because Barrett is a madman. Assassin's Creed in review releases today, February 10th at 2:30 p.m. Pacific time on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames as a YouTube premiere. The rumor is the reason why Imran is leaving is because Imran got an early viewing of Assassin's Creed in review and Barrett put Assassin's Creed Unity as number one.
I'm not confirming that, I'm just saying that's what I heard. Barrett has not said this is not true. He just like he's let it ride. So who knows?
Who knows?
Also, Kevin, I have a question. Could you theoretically sneak into Blessing's apartment, delete every game off his PS5 except RE7, and just like whenever he goes to stream Apex, it's like, oh, I guess all I have here is RE7.
He can't do it. He's a coward.
I mean, first of all, don't.
I will call the police on Kevin easily.
Oh shit! You think I've never had the police called on me? You think that's something that scares me?
Listen, but what I'm saying though is, if friends could break into my apartment, I wouldn't mind, right? Yousef Magid, I trust him. You know, if he's breaking into my apartment, it's just stop him.
Hold on, let him.
Yousef Magid breaks into my apartment. I'm like, this.
Yeah, Yousef McGee breaks
into my apartment. I'm like, he's here for good reason. I trust this man.
Friends, right?
Kevin Coelho breaks into my apartment. I'm calling the U.S. forces.
I'm not saying you're not a friend.
I'm saying you're not a friend that I trust. I'm saying I don't trust you.
But you just
if you break into my house, you're not here for good reason. Am I wrong?
Now you're not wrong.
The thing, Bless, if Yousef breaks into your house, you can't stop him. Like, what are you going to do?
I'm going to call the police.
The police can't stop you, Seth. What are you talking about?
Back to Assassin's Creed in review, of course. Let's see. So you can watch the video as it debuts and then hang out in chat with Barrett and other best friends to talk about everything we love about Assassin's Creed. And then also happening today, the FCF activities begin with the first draft. Come to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to draft our football team with Snowbike Mike and Greg on Wednesday. That's today, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. And then Saturday is Wild Aces game day. The fan-controlled football season starts with the Wild Aces squaring off against Quavo and Richard Sherman's Glacier Boys, my personal favorite in the FCF League. We'll be streaming the game at 5 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday, so show up for that. And then after the game, you can stick around for Love, Sex, and Stuff's live Valentine's Day call-in show. A big Saturday here at Kinda Funny, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Graham of Legend, David Mintel, Trent Berry, Blackjack, Louise Aguiar at 8BitLouise, James Davis at James Davis Makes, and the Nanobiologist. Today we're brought to you by Amazon Pharmacy and DoorDash, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
Baker's Dozen.
I can't get the image out of my head of Yousef like versus like a bunch of like unarmed police officers, right? Like how many armed forces, or in this case unarmed forces, I'm gonna say, versus Yousef will it take to actually take that man down? Because Yousef is a force to be reckoned with.
Okay, is Barrett in the chat? Can Barrett put that poll? No, that might be actually a bad poll. Like, that might be a real creepy poll.
That can get problematic real quick.
No, not a good idea. So, no, don't do that.
Yousef can hold his own, though. And so I would like to see, and let's take police out of it. How many men does it take to take out Yousef Magid? Like, normal men?
Like, based on that I was going to say five.
How do we make this happen?
How do we put a Yousef battle royale?
How many? Actually, let's frame it this way. How many kind of funny members does it take to take out Yousef?
Oh, we'd all lose.
You think all about? Kind of funny versus Yousef? You think he'd take us?
I think it matters on the member, right? You think one Greg Miller? Like, you don't understand the power of Greg Miller. You've never seen
against Yousef though. Yousef is a tall. Like, I know Greg Miller is tall, but Yousef is also tall.
I've literally seen Yousef pick up Greg Miller. Like,
that is true. He, like, John Cena picked up Greg Miller, right? Mm. I don't know.
I'd pay good money to watch Greg and Yousef. Good money.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yes, 100%.
All right, we're adding that to the thermometer 2022. Story number one, Epic has revealed their MetaHuman creator. This is from Nick Stat at The Verge. Kevin, I have two videos here that I want you to play. The first one you can play while reading, while I'm reading through the story, and the second one I want us to watch together, because there is very fascinating stuff going on with Epic and their metahuman creator. Again, I'm going to pull this story from Nick Stat at The Verge. Epic Games has announced a new browser-based software tool powered by its Unreal Engine called the Metahuman Creator that can craft highly realistic human faces and help power more realistic body movements and facial animations. Epic provided a sneak peek at the platform today and a pair of YouTube videos showing off examples of creations built using MetaHuman Creator, and, quote, MetaHuman appears to be the term the company is using to describe this brand of virtual, non-real individual. Epic says the MetaHuman Creator can be used in conjunction with modern motion capture and animation techniques for creating lifelike motions and human interaction scenes built for video games, film, TV, and other formats. The company says these photorealistic humans can be generated in a matter of minutes and equipped with unique hairstyles and clothing, and then they can be tailored further to meet their needs of a production. And these metahumans can be manipulated in real time within the tool itself and just using a web browser, Epic says. Quote, up until now, the most arduous tasks in 3D content creation has been constructing truly convincing digital humans. Even the most experienced artists require significant amounts of time, effort, and equipment just for one character, said Vladimir Maslovic, Epic's vice president of digital humans technology, in a statement. Quote, after decades of research and development, and thanks to bringing in companies like 3Lateral, Cubic Motion, and Quixel into the Epic family, that barrier is being erased through Unreal Engine, and we're thrilled to introduce MetaHuman Creator, end quote. MetaHuman Creator does seem capable of making some shockingly realistic-looking people that could easily pass for a real-life motion-captured actor, though perhaps we need to wait to see what the tool is truly capable of in the hands of third-party creators before making a verdict on whether it escapes the uncanny valley. It's not clear when Epic intends to release the MetaHuman Creator outside a broad 2021 release window, but interested developers and artists can sign up for updates on the Unreal Engine website. Imran, have you seen this morning, and what are your thoughts on this so far?
So my first thought was, oh, this is cool as shit. The second thought was, oh, this is creepy as shit. And now, like, while you were talking, there was like a weird sync with the video of like, literally, it looked like the person in the video was saying those words. So, like,
surprise! That's the surprise. It is Games Daily. I have partnered with Epic, and we're doing this whole thing. No, I'm just going.
Yeah, then it, like, circles back to creepy as shit after that. Yeah. But like, yeah, no, it's interesting, and for a number of reasons. One, like, okay, I can get why Epic did this. It does make sense from an engine perspective, like. On multiple levels, this is like, okay, working on this makes it easier to work on the engines without actually having to, like, go in and, like, put out a game and, like, this is what this can do now, blah, blah, blah. They can just continually, like, make iterations of this, and it'll, like, help improve the Unreal 4 engine. And Unreal 5, I guess, whenever that actually does become a thing for video games at this point. But beyond that, it is also what they're saying about character models. It is true. Character modeling does take a lot of time and a lot of work. Making it easier as like a middleware is a very smart thing for them to do as an engine creator. I think what that's going to mean practically for early on is going to be like, oh, we're going to go back to the days when Unreal Engine 3 couldn't do hair and everyone looked exactly the same. So that might be what it looks like for a little bit, but I think there is a big benefit further down the line. But it does, like, as we get closer to photorealism, the more uncanny valley we seem to hit. And there's aspects of this that I really don't like in terms of, like, how these characters actually look and how realistic they look, but, like, a slight off the, like, distance.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of in the meantime, in the early days of this, I don't know what this pans out. Like, I don't know how this looks like on a very practical scale. Like, I don't necessarily see big companies come into this in order to create their big AAA polished products, because this does seem to be in that middleware zone. But as this keeps getting built on and improved and all that stuff, like, this technology has big implications for the future of character design and accessibility. And even if you aren't a Ubisoft, or I guess Ubisoft has their own engines that they use, but even if you aren't, like, a big AAA developer that's using the Unreal Engine, even as maybe an indie developer that might be using the Unreal Engine, this tool probably poses a big benefit for you because you have to save so much time on character models and animation and have access to facial animations and all this stuff done in a way easier way. Kevin, I want you to bring up the second video I have on the doc because...
FYI, these are the same videos.
Oh, are they? You
know. Yeah.
Oh, they are. If you could search up, there is another video. Well, actually, which video did you play? Was it the one where they were just talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a talking video.
Oh, okay. Well, if you could play this one again, but like play it with sound.
Hold on a second. Something weird is happening.
Yeah. There are basically two videos. This one, and then there's another one that actually shows them in the tool messing around and a lot of stuff. And that I just want to use for visual. This, what they're actually saying in this video is interesting because they actually like go into detail in terms of, hey, this is what this is. This is why we're doing this. And it's very, very interesting.
All right, ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am a metahuman, the next generation of digital human powered by Unreal Engine. Metahumans are high-fidelity digital characters created by you, the user, on our new content creation platform, Metahuman Creator.
It wasn't creepy until she smiled. I am fully rigged, like,
ready for animation.
You can't approximate a smile.
Allowing you to work in context. With everything running live in Unreal Engine, my motion works seamlessly.
On other characters, I have 8 levels of detail and have been tested on a wide range of hardware platforms, from feature film to mobile. If you're interested in learning about my animation rig or high fidelity deformations, built on Control Rig, the new strand-based hair system via the Groom component, or how everything is tied together and animated in Sequencer, then have a look under the hood in this project. This is just a glimpse of things to come.
And this is this is available in browser. Like, you can create these characters in browser, and
it's crazy. People. These aren't people at all. These are just creations.
Yeah. Like, people are obviously voicing and all that stuff. But yeah, these are creations that people went into the MetaHuman Creator, created, and I'm assuming animated using facial animation tech and probably motion capture. Yeah,
there's the moment where it shows all the animation points.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I kind of wonder at what point is this going to get real? Because there was a time where when deepfakes were becoming a bigger thing, and Reddit just banned them because they were being used for nefarious shit.
Right?
Yes.
Yep.
I think Pornhub banned them, and that was a big loss. That's the way they stopped.
At what point is somebody going to make, I don't know, their teacher or an ex girlfriend or something?
And that's gonna happen.
Yeah, and that's oh shit, this is bad. If I didn't know what that was, and I just saw that video starting, until she smiled, I would not think, oh, that's a CG person.
We've already seen deep fake videos of, I think there was one with Obama where he says some things, and it's he didn't say that. And a lot of the things have been edited in that video to make him look like he's saying something he isn't. They changed the flag behind him. And it's already we don't even need... this far, people are already with deepfake stuff doing things that are bad,
Yeah. I saw a video of, I forget who the actor was, but he was doing impressions on Letterman, and literally he would turn into the actor he was doing impressions of. Mm. Oh, this is creepy as shit. This has bad disinformation.
There's a lot of nefarious shit people can do with this stuff. And it's terrifying. On one hand, it's very terrifying. On the other hand, also very cool and very much this is the future. People are going to use this for so many different things. I remember in previous streams, in recent streams we've done on twitch.tv /confounded games, I believe Andy and them and Snowic Mike and them were watching VTubers. And this is 1000% going to be used for VTubing in the early days. If you think about one, how quality this is, but then also how easy it seems to be able to use with motion capture and all this stuff.
Just to clear up things that I've seen in the chat where people are like, oh, this doesn't look real. It's not that they're trying to look real. It's just that normally it would take people a long time to make a fake person
this is not,
that doesn't exist.
This is not something that is that has been accessible for anybody to go in and use and create in this way.
I think it doesn't look real if you're looking at the from an analytical perspective of okay, I'm gonna check and see if this looks real.
It looks good for a video game.
if you see this video like grimy on Facebook or like Reddit compression or whatever, it's like, is this real? Like, is it
yeah,
just like
you just saw it randomly be like, wait, okay, what is this? But if you go into it knowing what it is, you're like, okay, no, this looks like Watch Dogs or this looks like a Quantic Dream game or whatever. But out of context, just like if it looks like grime or compressed or whatever, you'd be like, oh, what is? Oh, is that my homie Michael? Like, what's going on here?
Bless. I did find the other video that you wanted me to have.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and bring that up because I think it'd be fun to watch that one too. Click and play.
I could be one of many.
So yeah, now we're looking at the same character models from the previous video, and there are some new ones now here. And they're going through and they're talking about how they're different people. I could be this, I could be that, I could be an architect, I could be an artist, all this different stuff.
You create the narrative.
Like, if you don't know anything about video games and you saw this stuff, I think you could be convinced.
Yes. I think so, too. This is wild, dude.
Yeah. Again, and look how...
The close-up shots are insane. Insane.
And this being just available on browsers is the thing that blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. It's available on everything, right? Like, all the consoles, phones.
Oh, is it? Did they talk about that? I just saw the browser stuff. I assume it'll be available on PC also, but I didn't realize that they're going to put it out.
It's on PC as well. Like,
and to be clear, this isn't... Like, MetaHuman, the creator, isn't out yet. Like, it is... It's coming 2021.
It is part of the UE4... I think if you have UE4, you can dev kit test it now.
Gotcha.
So speaking of which, I was actually reading the documentation for this. And one of the things that was interesting to me is one of the future improvements thing is quality of MetaHumans on iOS, Android, and Swiss platforms will continue to improve. And they like list out the ways they intend to improve it. If you look at that just saying like, hey, we're going to keep working on this software, that makes sense. But the fact that it lists those three platforms as platforms that like iOS and Android will have variable hardware. They are going to improve year over year. I kind of wonder if that's like a small hint of like, yeah, Switch will get better. Just don't worry about it right now.
Oh, you think so?
I wonder if that like that's saying like Switch hardware is going to improve at some point. We can't talk about it right now.
I'd hope so.
It could go either way. Maybe I'm just seeing what I want to see there, but that's kind of like the initial like, an odd thing to say there.
Does it call out Switch specifically or does it say like interesting? Yeah, quality, maybe that could be it.
iOS, Android, and Switch platforms will continue to improve.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, it could be them also like reading the tea leaves, and it could be assumptions, or it could be them like really being like, in the next, as Nintendo platforms can continue to come out and all that stuff, it'll improve. But yeah, the Switch language there, I think, is interesting. But we shall see. Imran, let's talk about some Ubisoft news. Story number two, Ubisoft is moving away from reliance on AAA releases. This is from Rebecca Valentine over at IGN. Ubisoft doesn't want to be as reliant on AAA game releases as it has in the past, and will instead look more closely at free-to-play games in its back catalog to make money. Call today following the company's Q3 financial results. The publisher said that its plans for fiscal 2022, the period from April 2021 through March 2022, included three AAA game releases, but that in the future, Ubisoft didn't want AAA games to be the focus of its business model. Quote, we said for a number of years that our normal template is to come with either three or four AAA games, so we'll stick to that plan for fiscal 2022. But we see that we are progressively, continuously moving from a model that used to be only focused on AAA releases to a model where we have a combination of strong releases from AAA and strong back catalog dynamics, but also complementing our program of new releases with free-to-play and other premium experiences, said CFO Frederick Duguet. He went on to specify that the company had a number of titles, AAA and otherwise, in the pipeline, naming Far Cry 6, Rainbow Six Quarantine, Skull and Bones, Riders Republic, The Prince of Persia, Sands of Time Remake, and Roller Champions. He also nodded to a previously announced Assassin's Creed mobile game planned to come to China with the help of Ubisoft investor Tencent, which he said was a part of the company ramping up its investment and its interest in free-to-play games, especially on mobile. Mobile currently makes up about 9% of the company's total business. Notably, there wasn't a single mention on the call about Ubisoft's free-to-play battle royale, Hyperscape, which flopped tremendously at launch and is currently undergoing an overhaul. Elsewhere in the call, CEO Yves Guillemot also noted that the company's back catalog or its hard-to-release games that are still bringing in revenue long-term will also play a heavier role in the company's revenues in the future, and already are. As an example, six-year-old Rainbow Six Siege added 15 million new players in the last 12 months, growing to 70 million total players since launch, and is still a major revenue driver for the publisher. And Ron, there's a lot we can dig into here. Where do you want to start?
So, it's weird to me they're only just dawning on the idea of, like, maybe not AAA games all the time. Like, I guess that worked out for them for quite a long time, but at some point, you are dedicating 100% of your resources to make or break titles, and if one of them breaks, then it doesn't work out well for you. But yeah, I hope that means, like, good games that aren't super expensive, like more like Immortals, and less like what they call out here of, mobile and free-to-play kind of things. But, you know, who knows? Who knows how that's actually going to end up shaking out for them?
Yeah. I mean, Ubisoft's catalog is already a bit what they're talking about here, like of leading into, where you have games like Brawlhalla that are, I assume, is doing well for Ubisoft because they keep adding characters to it. You also have Rainbow Six Siege and stuff. Like, their catalog is already pretty diverse in that place, right? And there are games like Hyperscape that seem to be leaning into that idea of, hey, let's diversify and do different stuff, even though Hyperscape didn't pan out probably as they wanted it to. But, you know, there's still always that chance of Hyperscape growing and getting better and becoming good and also becoming a hit later down the line, like has happened with other games. And what kind of happened with Rainbow Six Siege, even though Rainbow Six Siege, I think, launched fine, but then just got better as it went. I think that same thing could happen with Hyperscape and other games released similarly from Ubisoft. While we're here, I want to pull in another article from GamesBeat, where they talk about how Ubisoft has had its strongest quarter in the company history. This is Mike Minotti. And I'm only going to read a few paragraphs. As soon as my browser unfreezes, why is it frozen?
Browser unfreezes. Processor hog.
Oh my God. Okay, well, maybe I won't bring in this article because I literally can't scroll on it.
I have it open. Do you want me to read any part of it?
Hold on. I'm going to try one more time. Okay, no, it's working now.
Okay.
Ubisoft has posted its financial results for the third quarter of 2020 to 2021, boasting its best quarter ever. The period ended on December 31st. During the 3 months, Ubisoft released huge games, including Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Immortals Fenyx Rising, and Watch Dogs Legion. The popular Just Dance franchise also debuted its latest entry. Ubisoft reported net bookings of about $1.2 billion. That is more than double the $551 million from the same quarter last year. All of gaming has been getting a boost thanks to the pandemic, as the sheltering masses flock to the medium for entertainment. While some companies like Nintendo had scaled back offerings this holiday season, Ubisoft released a steady stream of big games. The company also benefits from strong backlog sales. Older games like Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle and the Far Cry franchise continue to sell well long after release. And that's the specific thing I wanted to highlight when it comes to what their strategy seems to be from shifting back from AAA a little bit and focusing more on back catalog and other things, where, like, yeah, Rainbow Six Siege, killing it. Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, still selling. The Far Cry franchise seems to be still selling. Like, this seems to already be playing into what Ubisoft has been doing well already, and so I definitely understand why they would come out and just be like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this more because this is working for us. And I hope this means that they reach further back and bring back games like Splinter Cell and other fan favorites that people have been asking for.
Well, if you look at, like, the list of AAA games that is written in the article, like, it's a who's who of, oh, we delayed this shit and, like, we don't know when it's coming. Like, Far Cry 6 is the closest to coming out, but it's Far Cry 6, Rainbow Six Quarantine, Skull and Bones, Riders Republic, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, and Roller Champions. Granted, I do not remember if Roller Champions ever came out, but that that just speaks volumes. But, like, clearly AAA is not working out well for them if, like, they took a year off from game development. Or not year off, but, like, a year delay of game development to, like, make sure everything got right. Then Watch Dogs came out, and it was fine. It wasn't, like, you know, revelatory or anything. Like, the systems worked, but beyond that, it wasn't that interesting. Valhalla came out, and Valhalla was good, but it wasn't great. It didn't knock anyone's socks off. So I wonder if, like, they're looking at that, like, what are we doing here? What, like, what is the next big thing for Ubisoft? And I'm not sure they know. Like, very, very pointedly, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is not mentioned. Is that game still in existence? Like, Ancel is off. He's off game development. He's not consulting on that game anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, is somebody making it? Did they just quietly cancel it? Like, is it one of those things they looked at, like, oh, AAA games are not doing it for us, so this is the first on the chopping block? Questions that need to be answered, I suppose.
See, Beyond Good and Evil 2, I just see as one of those games that was just announced way too early. Because even when they announced that game, I immediately, for me, I was like, okay, well, we'll see when this comes out, because y'all obviously have not started working on this thing. Like, you guys have a debut trailer, and that's about it. And it's cool that you want to do the thing where you give us the updates, and the thing where you're bringing in the audience to help make the game, I think it's kind of weird, but it is what it is. I for me, that signifies that this game is way further out than we think. That game, as of now, I think is probably still in development, but it's just one of those things where game development is so weird and inconsistent. And, you know, like, in the perfect world, we would have, in the perfect world, every game would take 3 to 4 years to make and it'd come out and we'd all be like, cool, it's awesome, thanks. But I'm sure that game is probably in a limbo right now where they're still trying to figure it out and they're too scared to talk about it or commit to a year or anything because they just don't know when they'll be able to figure out what that game actually is.
So in September, they said the game is in playable state. It is coming. There will be a gameplay reveal in 2021. So maybe, like, if that game is still existing, like, honestly, maybe it is better if Ancel is not there, because I'm not sure what that game was before.
Mm-hmm. Imran, speaking of Rainbow Six Quarantine specifically, this is actually story number 3. Ubisoft could rename Rainbow Six Quarantine. This is Jordan Alleman at IGN. Ubisoft has revealed that it may be renaming Rainbow Six Quarantine, but insists the long-delayed game will arrive this year. During Ubisoft's third quarter earnings call, Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot announced that the company was asked whether the studio was concerned about releasing a game with quarantine in the title, given the global pandemic that arrived after the game's reveal. Quote, on Rainbow Six Quarantine, we're creating a product that is actually, as it's named today, is something we're evaluating and we'll see what comes in the future on that product, Guillemot said in response. This suggests we may see the game under a new moniker in the future. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. That game is getting renamed.
Yeah, fucking course. Like, why are they just saying that now? It was obvious a year ago that game was being renamed. It's like, I cannot believe the people who renamed Gods and Monsters into Immortals Fenyx Rising have not been looking at that, or have been looking at that for a year, and be like, should we rename this? Of course you're going to rename it. Like,
yeah, no, I think they probably made that decision by July last year to rename it, and they're probably either one in the place where they're still trying to figure out the name, and they don't want to say they're going to rename it until they figure out what the other name is going to be, or we're probably going to get a Ubisoft forward soon, and it seems like they're committing to this year, and so if that's the case, I imagine the next Ubisoft forward, and maybe two forwards from now, they'll come out and be like, hey, we're Rainbow Six Quarantine is now Rainbow Six COVID-19, and we're leaning all the way in. No, they're not going to do that, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to rename it, and we'll see what it is.
Like, I saw some people in chat going, like, why would they rename it? Like, there's nothing wrong with the name. If you're going to market a product, you don't want to remind people that life is a bummer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not, they're not renaming it because it's, like, offensive or insulting. They're renaming it because it's a dumb name for a product right now.
Yeah. No, it's about marketing. You want to be able, if you're Ubisoft and you're in the place where you can rename a game, which they are, and they've done very recently with Gods and Monsters, right? Like, it's not about it being, like, bad or offensive or people going, how dare you? It's more so the fact that they want to sell that game. And if you're a mom and you go to the store and you see a game called, or if you're anybody and go to the store and you see a game called Rainbow Six Quarantine, that, in a marketing sense, that immediately invokes, like, this bad feeling because we've been in a quarantine for the last year, right? Like, you don't want that on the marketing side. You want people to look at your game and not immediately associate it with something terrible or bad feelings.
So there was a Ubisoft thing that I forgot about and I wanted to mention because you mentioned Mario Rabbids. And there's a story from The Gamer from a couple of weeks ago that the official Twitter account changed their name, or the official Rabbids official Twitter account changed their name from that to at Mario Rabbids at some point, and then changed it back before anyone really noticed. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wonder if, like, that's coming soon. Like, a reveal of that game is coming fairly soon.
Like Mario and Rabbids 2?
Yeah, like a sequel. Because there's, I have zero doubt they're working on a sequel. But like they showed the first one and released it within like 3 months. So I'd expect a very similar timeline here.
Do you think we're talking a lot about Ubisoft announcements, right? And what mm-hmm. and what they could have planned in the near future. Do you think we see Ubisoft go back to E3? Because all the things we're talking about, I think, would make sense as E3 announcements.
I think unless there's a big reason to do so, I don't see a whole lot of like major companies going back to E3. Unless, like, let's say Ubisoft forwards do not translate to game sales in a way that E3 does, and they'd have to do like a decent bit of marketing research about that. And I'm sure ESA is also doing their own marketing research about that. Then maybe they would do that. But like, I am not convinced that E3 this year is going to be the E3 that we know. And I don't think it's going to carry the same social cachet it did before. Like, you're not mm-hmm. going to have like the mainstream press like reporting on a virtual E3 or even an E3 2022 that's like an actual physical thing in the same way like they did when like, oh, new Assassin's Creed is on Ubisoft stage and like in a mainstream newspaper like it used to be. It's just mm-hmm. now going to be like, all right, I guess like the virtual diaspora is now what's the new normal.
Yeah, I can see that too. Like, my prediction is I think we'll get a Ubisoft forward in June, or what we'd consider E3 time ish. But it's very difficult to imagine any of the big publishers we've had at E3 traditionally appearing there again when I guess they've not made the announcement, but there have been reports that we've talked about on the show of, yeah, E3 is probably going to be digital. Like, it seems like they're leaning into that, but it's also still going to cost six figures to participate, which seems like a huge mistake.
It is a fairly high six figures too. It is not a low number.
Oh, no.
So in comparison to a physical, like, people don't realize how much Ubisoft's E3 show costs them. It is in the tens of millions. So, like, it is not a cheap show to put on. At some point, like, yeah, just put a camera on Yousef and, like, have him announce games.
Yeah. It's like, let Yousef talk. Let Kind of Funny tackle Yousef on camera and have that be, like, the opening thing where each of us take a shot at Yousef, see how many members it takes for us to take him down.
If we can beat Yousef, then we get a new Assassin's Creed game.
That'd be... But we're going to get a new Assassin's Creed game in that case.
Okay, well, if we can beat Yousef, then Sam Fisher comes back for Splinter Cell.
If we can beat Yousef, they keep the name from Rainbow Six Quarantine and sell it that way.
I don't know that anyone wins there. Like,
exactly.
It's just we all get beat up by Yousef and like somebody changes their name at some point.
Make it happen, Ubisoft. Story number four, PS5 DualSense is having some drift issues. This is Marie Dale Alessandri at gamesindustry.biz. PS5's controller, the DualSense, is allegedly suffering the same drift issue that have been widely reported in the Nintendo Switch's Joy-Con. Players reported stick drift issues online as early as 10 days after their purchase of Sony's console, Kotaku reported. The issue sees the DualSense controller registering movement even when it's not being used. Drift issues have been exploding in the past few years, affecting all platform holders. Nintendo has been particularly impacted, with Joy-Con drift the target of over 25,000 complaints across Europe. The European Commission has now been called to investigate the issue. It's under scrutiny outside of Europe too, with class action lawsuits filed in Canada and the US. Microsoft is also affected with a class action lawsuit filed last year, saying that Xbox One controllers have problems with faulty analog sticks. Emron, are we just stuck in the future where every controller is going to have issues from now on?
Yes, that's like they're mechanical things. They're going to wear after some time. The Joy-Con thing is like a specific weird example because of how flat they want to keep the internals of that controller, so like it does not have the full support of like a, you know, analog stick and ball kind of thing. With Sony, I'm not shocked. I'm not convinced there's a mass report of these issues quite yet, mm-hmm. but I do think those controls are so complicated that they're gonna wear and break at some point faster than normal controllers, like, for sure. Even when playing video game, like playing PS5 games, whenever like stuff, like I have to push past the resistance, I'm like, oh, this controller is gonna break like at some point. Like, I am wearing down on gears and like, or not gears specifically, but like on things inside the controllers. Yeah, that will not last forever. Is it gears?
I believe so. I think it's a system of gears that like moves to higher and lower gears to like make it resist more.
Okay, then like, yeah, that's also probably like, nothing is going to last eternally. I've gone through like 3-4 DualShock 4s. Like, it is a, I expect that PS5 DualSense controllers are going to be more replaced than we think. But, you know, like, have you played Spider-Man Remastered yet?
Only a little bit. I played it to get the platinum and that was it.
So have you ever noticed that like when you're playing that game and then you like you back out to the PS4 menu, you can hear like an audible click from the controller?
On the PS5 menu?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think that happened to me.
So like I was able to replicate it like a dozen times. And like I think it's just, oh, the things that are going on in the controller for the game, when they don't have to do that, they like go to rest. Which implies there's like a level of tension in that controller when I'm playing a game that can't be actually good for it, like in terms of long-term sustainability for that thing. Mm-hmm. So like I have personally made peace with the fact that, oh, I'm gonna have to replace the controller one day. Like,
yeah,
whatever, that's fine. I've had to replace Joy-Cons and Xbox controllers and DualSense, like whatever. But I guess hopefully it is a wear and tear issue and not a systemic thing, like built from a bad design choice like the Joy-Cons are.
Yeah, this strikes me as something that will, oh, are those the, Kevin's showing right now, are those the gears that are inside the controller?
Okay.
I've been a little bit fascinated with, I've been a little bit fascinated with how the actual DualSense works. There was somebody on Twitter, I forgot who it was, somebody on Twitter was talking about this exact thing, and they're like, yeah, I like looked into a video and a breakdown of how the DualSense worked, and once I watched the video, I was way less impressed with the DualSense. And when I read that, I was like, all right, you know what, I'm not gonna look, I just want to keep the magic alive, because like, right now every time I use the DualSense, I'm like, this is fantastic, and I don't want to know how the magic works.
It still works great on Astrobot.
So cool.
Like Astrobot, I think is the major game. But like, I haven't found a game aside from Astrobot that I've loved as much as that. So like, it's gonna come down to design. And if it's just, oh, the gun takes a click, I'm not interested in that. But if it's like, oh shit, if like, I even like the Destruction All Stars, honestly, like it, that it kind of a health meter.
Yeah. No, and I like in terms of Joy-Con drift and all that stuff. Like, I assume that's a thing that. I fingers crossed this is a first wave of hardware thing that some people are experiencing. It doesn't seem yet to be on the level of the Joy-Cons, which is nice, but it's also like a, hey, time will tell, you know, like we're still early on. Eventually for Joy-Cons, everybody's Joy-Con got Joy-Con drift. I would hope, and I don't think that's going to be the case for the DualSense. And if that starts being a more common thing, then I assume that that'll be fixed with a new wave of DualSense is being produced.
Yeah, I I'm not convinced that joystick drift is a like mass problem right now, but I also don't think that controller is going to last long for most people anyway.
Mm-hmm. And Ron, before we get into the next news story, I want to tell you about our sponsor. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Amazon Pharmacy. Chances are you use Amazon, but have you used Amazon Pharmacy yet? That's right, prescriptions delivered to your door by Amazon, just like the toilet paper and Funko Pops you're probably already ordering. It saves you time and keeps you out the waiting line at the pharmacy. It's easy. Have your doctor's office send you your next prescription straight to Amazon Pharmacy. Your insurance, Amazon Pharmacy works with most insurance plans nationwide. Amazon Prime members get free two-day delivery and save on prescription medication when paying without insurance. Tim needed some medication over the previous holiday break. He used Amazon Pharmacy, and he says it's easy as all hell. Amazon Prime members can save on prescription medication when not using insurance and get free two-day delivery. Learn more at amazon.com/gamesrx. That's Amazon, amazon.com/gamesrx. amazon.com/gamesrx. We're also brought to you by DoorDash. Dinner, check. Deodorant, check. Morning pick-me-up from Dunkin', check. If you're me, then it's Starbucks. I got my morning picking me up from Starbucks, and let me tell you, that thing hit. Two days ago when I got my Starbucks order, they gave it to me with too much cream in it, and so I didn't get the caffeine hit that I needed. You know, I got a little bit of the caffeine hit, but it wasn't as much as I needed. Today, I asked for no cream, and let me tell you, oh, buddy. I'm on fire today. And now you can get groceries, the grocery essentials you need with DoorDash. Also, get drinks, snacks, and other household items delivered in under an hour. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want from where you want, and your items will be left safely outside your door with the contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the US, Puerto Rico, Australia, and Canada, you can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. For Canadian listeners, you use code GAMESCA. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021 in the US and GAMESCA in Canada. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 or GAMESCA for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. Emron, story number five, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. We got a review roundup because the embargo went up today. Right now, Metacritic is sitting at a 90. An Open Critic is sitting at an 89. I'm going to start with Chris Carter over at Destructoid, who gave it a 10 out of 10 and says, it still has everything that made me fall in love the first time. Strong and varied level design, fantastic and interactive power-ups, and the option for multiplayer that feels less cramped than some of the other 2D offerings. The tweaks are small overall, and Bowser's Fury isn't going to sate the most hardcore Mario fans looking for a brand new game, but the package as a whole is magical. If you were one of the many who missed out on this Wii U classic, fix that. Brian Shea over at Game Informer gave it a 9.25 out of 10 and says, having another chance to revisit Super Mario 3D World or experience it for the first time is reason enough to be excited. However, with an excellent all-new game joining the Wii U port, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury is a compelling option for anyone who wants more Mario in their life. And then lastly, Cam Shea at IGN, who I assume is Brian Shea's brother. I have no evidence to back that up, but that is an assumption I'm making. Cam Shea at IGN gave it a 7 out of 10 and says, I disagree with my brother over there, Game Informer. Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury packs a ton of engaging gameplay, but neither component comes together as elegantly as it might have done. This is a solid option if you're craving more Super Mario for your Switch, but it's not the mustachioed must-play I was hoping for. Emron, are you excited to get your hands on 3D World plus Bowser's Fury for the Nintendo Switch?
I am. I'm actually really excited because that game was great, but it was like it lacked a level of ambition that I think a lot of people expected from Mario just based off the Galaxy games. And like in terms of level design and all that stuff, I still enjoyed it. But like that, I think people held that against it when that game came out. And it sold 5 million copies in the Wii U, which is impressive, like a third of the install base. But like, I think this is the time where it's actually going to shine now. And people are like, oh shit, actually this game is really good. It sounds like Bowser's Fury, though not like, it's not a campaign size thing. It is still like a good 4 to 5 hours or whatever. Like that is, I think, the more interesting part to me, because I really want to play that. And I want to know what implications that part has for like, future Mario games or future Zelda games or whatever the ideas are trying to like test out there.
Yeah, I'm excited to jump into this. This will be my first time playing 3D World, and then also I'm also excited for Bowser's Fury because it seems like impressions for that are all over the place. It's been fascinating hearing Tim talk about it and be like, yeah, this seems like a new pillar for what 3D Mario could be in the way that it's structured, and that very much excites me because I love 3D Mario so much. 3D World has been one that I've never really been too excited for until now, where I've seen more people or I've heard more people talk about it and express great things about it. Like I've always kind of categorized it as more of a new Super Mario Brothers game than an actual 3D Mario game. And
I think a lot of people did, which is like, yeah, part of the reason it's not, it was like initially when they showed it, it was very maligned. People did not like it until like the actual release.
Yeah, and that definitely affected how I took it because, you know, I didn't have a Wii U because like not many people had a Wii U. But then also, yeah, like seeing it and kind of having it in my mind of, okay, this seems more aligned with those games than 3D Mario games. I like the new Super Mario Brothers games, but they don't excite me in the way that Mario Odyssey or Mario Galaxy like really excites me. But you know, years after, it seems like people have more and more great things to say about 3D World as a game. And I can't wait to check it out, because I think I've been selling it short by seeing it more along the lines of New Super Mario Brothers as opposed to its own thing. And so,
yeah,
I'm hyped.
So for the record, none of us had 3D World on the Fantasy League.
That's because it's a remake or it's a re-release.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, we couldn't. It was. Okay. Damn. Yeah. It would have been easy. I saw that too. It'd been easy amount of points, but unfortunate.
Imran, so now that you're leaving us, are you still going to keep up with the Fantasy League? Are you still going to?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
This is the first time I've seen Tim's list now, and it just like he filled it up with games that are just not coming out this year.
Tim's list is ridiculous, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he's living his best life, but his vision of 2021 is ridiculous.
Deltarune is on his list.
Deltarune is on his list. Last of Us Factions 2 is on his list. He put Pokemon Diamond and Pearl Remake on there. Starfield is on there. And I know his strategy is, hey, I get like four, I think it's four free drops, right? Like one game, one game, whatever game you want for one, and then three games that don't get released in 2021. But I don't know, man. Like, I think he's betting. I think he's trying to game the system real hard, and I think that's going to backfire on him. Now, yeah. I want to shout out a thing that I don't think anybody has shouted out yet on any of these shows. I've picked up two more games since the actual Gamescast episode where we did fantasy draft. Yeah. Of course, you can go to kindoffunny.com/. I want to say it's fantasy draft. kindoffunny.com/you're wrong Gamescast or chat
league.
Gamescast league. kindoffunny.com/Gamescast league if you want to check out the actual league itself to see where we all stand. I picked up Guilty Gear Strive and Lego Star Wars the Skywalker Saga since the episode. And I'm feeling very good about those two.
Yeah, Strive, I was watching some Strive videos last night. That game, one, looks fucking amazing, and two, looks really fun.
Yeah, I played the beta a little bit when the beta came out last year, and I was like, this game seems like it's going to be excellent. I cannot wait. And it was supposed to come out last year, and I believe it got delayed into this year. And so I'm feeling pretty good about it releasing also.
Yeah. I'm excited. I want to play you a couple of rounds. I'm not good at Guilty Gear, but I will mash buttons until I win.
I'm not good at Guilty Gear either. Like I Guilty Gear Strive will be my first dive into Guilty Gear. I really love Dragon Ball FighterZ, and I played so much of Dragon Ball FighterZ, and I'm willing to throw hands in Dragon Ball FighterZ. This will be my first time in Guilty Gear, and so I'm not feeling too confident because I know Guilty Gear players and fans seem very into it. Like, if you like Guilty Gear, you are into Guilty Gear in a way that I'm scared to jump in because I'm sure most people playing are going to be hardcore, but I'm excited to try it out because it seems like a really cool game. Very beautiful art style. Imran, we're going to close out with story number 6. We have the title of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie sequel. This is Matt Perslow at IGN. Sonic the Hedgehog is getting a sequel, and it is somewhat obviously called Sonic the Hedgehog 2. The name, with its Tails-inspired logo, was revealed on Twitter, along with a reconfirmation of its release date, April 8th, 2022. Kevin, if you can go in the doc, I have a link to the teaser.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, did you see this?
No, April 8th, 2022, for a movie called Sonic 2 is a Friday. Blessing, you were too young to remember this, but Sonic Tuesday was like the biggest fucking deal.
Wait, what?
Like, so when Sonic the Hedgehog 2 came out on the Genesis, the marketing hyped it up for like a year as Sonic Tuesday, the game that game
comes. Oh, okay.
It's like, why are they not releasing Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the movie, on a Tuesday?
It's a theatrical release. They can't just release it on a Tuesday.
Theaters aren't a thing anymore. They can release them whatever the hell they want. Let's see. Games Daily, switch to browser. You want to watch this?
Have you seen the teaser yet, Imran?
No, I haven't seen. I saw the picture. Is that all there is?
Oh, no, there's an actual. I mean, that's basically all it is. But
yeah, it's a teaser.
Kevin, we'll go ahead and play it.
A little loud.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. No, they're doing the music right. But no, that should be on a Tuesday. I'm like super disappointed it's not on a Tuesday.
I just love the Tails coming out of the two, because it's going to be all about Tails. I'm so excited for
that. That is the way the Sonic 2 logo worked. Like,
I'm so excited.
Did you hear the rumor?
What's the rumor?
Jason Momoa is the voice of Knuckles.
God, yes.
It makes sense. Like, when you hear, like, imagine Jason Momoa talking, that kind of sounds like Knuckles.
I guess. I just don't see Jason Momoa as a voice actor, really. Like, when I'm if I heard Knuckles talk as Jason Momoa, I wouldn't put two and two together in my head of, oh, that's Jason Momoa, you know? Like, I'd just be like, oh, it's a voice.
That dude seems like he's really happy and good at chewing the set. So, like, as a voice actor, I think he'd be real good.
True. I don't know. Maybe I'll just have to listen, because I don't really... Jason Momoa's voice doesn't stick out to me particularly, but I do, when I think of Jason Momoa, I do think of him as a presence. Like, him walking onto a set and being his big old size self, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Jason Momoa for sure.
I think of two things. I think of the rape scene from Game of Thrones, and I think of him, like, sneaking up behind Henry Cavill on the red carpet.
Yeah, no, that's a really good meme. Yeah, no, yeah. That's a really good meme. I think of him as Aquaman. Aquaman movie that I refuse to watch.
I watched it, and I still, like, oh, I don't remember anything about it.
It's fun.
Is it?
It feels like they knew it was going to be bad, so they doubled down.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
There's submarine, like, puns. Like, multiple submarine puns.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, like, sometimes they remember they're swimming when they're standing, and sometimes they don't, and the movie just has no consistency on it, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, I do like Jason Momoa, and so him as Knuckles, I'm not hating on it. Like, I'm down to listen to him voice act Knuckles. I just don't recognize his voice that strongly, but that just might be me. What up?
At one point, there's in Aquaman, there's going to be, like, a death battle where two people have to fight to the death, and there is an octopus playing drums.
Okay, maybe I'll have to watch this movie. This movie sounds great. I'm going to watch Aquaman. Imran, very excited for Sonic the Hedgehog 2 in April 8th, 2022, which is a Friday, not a Tuesday. But that Friday, it's just so far away. If I wanted what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform. Ah, shit, I already messed it up. Shit.
No, you had it.
Okay, yeah, so you're there. All right, the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Was that your first time doing it without looking?
I think last time I accidentally might have peeked. So, like, this time I wanted to make sure. Like, So I think even though I feel like I messed it up the first time, I did not. So I got it right.
You killed it.
Yeah.
Did I do the do-do-do's?
Yeah.
Out today, we got hashtag Sunuka attack or # Sunuka attack. I don't know how they wanted to say that. For Xbox and Switch, choices that matter and their heroes were lost for Switch. Free throw basketball for Switch. And then Doors of Insanity for PC. We have one new date for you. This is from Borderlands on Twitter. Tales from the Borderlands returns to storefronts February 17th.
Hell yeah. That game rocks.
Heck yeah, man. Tales from Borderlands, my favorite Telltale game. Love Tales from Borderlands. Go play it. Go check it out. And then we do have a deal of the day for you. This is from Nintendo on Twitter. Four more titles will be added to NES and SNES Online for Switch on February 17th. For Super NES Online, we got Doomsday Warrior, Psycho Dream, and Prehistoric Man. And then for NES Online, we got Fire and Ice. Imran, how many of these games are you familiar with?
I know Prehistoric Man. I've heard Psycho Dream is real bad. I never played it, but it never came out from Japan. So why are there so many caveman SNES platformers?
That's a good question. That's, like, a very good question.
There's more than two, which is, like, way more than you would think.
Cavemans were in vogue back in the day. They're like pirates.
Mm-hmm. Encino Man.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser, the GOAT.
Yeah.
What's Nintendo's beef with Earthbound? What's going on?
I would bet because it sold so well on Wii U that they're trying to figure out a way to monetize it.
That's fucked up.
That would be my guess. I don't know, but yeah.
I mean, you could say the same thing about Mario World and the DKC franchise, though, right? Like, those are on SNES Online.
Are they? I thought only three was. No, it's two and three, right?
For Donkey Kong Country?
Yeah.
One is on there. Yeah, one is on there.
Okay, then, yeah, who knows? But Earthbound did sell extremely well on Wii U. Like, they were shocked how well it sold. So, who knows? Like, that might be the reason they're holding it back.
Mm. I don't like it. Just give me Earthbound and give me Mario RPG, because I would like to play both of those.
Mario RPG, I kind of wonder if the reason is because Paper Mario is out and they don't want to, like, conflict the sales.
Oh, yeah, some conflict?
Yeah. Maybe like that game comes down the line. Who knows?
Who knows? Imran, now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you wrong. That's where you write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Charles Jacobson says, I believe the interview Imran was talking about is with Bill Hader and Tom Cruise. I have correct. No idea what that reference is.
The deep fake thing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Frankfurter says, missed new date. Stubbs the Zombie is back in remastered from... Stubbs the Zombie is back remastered coming March 16th is what I think he's trying to say. And then... Kebab says that click that Imran is hearing is the adaptive triggers disengaging.
Yeah. I know what it is. It's just like
gears.
It sounds like tension is releasing, which implies to me that like tension is happening, which feels like it's wearing down the controller. But I don't know. I'm not an engineer, so.
You never will be.
Tomorrow.
That attitude.
Tomorrow's host.
Not at this rate.
You still got time.
I mean, we'll see.
He's too
Maybe
old.
After this, I go into engineering school.
I don't think
that'd
so.
Be wild if that was the really real reason Imran was leaving. Imran's like, oh, I want to build a fucking spaceship. That's why I'm leaving. I want to go build something big, build something cool, spaceship. Tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are.
I just.
You know, engineers do other things, right? Like,
I don't know. I've never been an engineer. Why am I supposed to know what engineers make? I'm going to go build a train. I'm going to go build a bridge.
It doesn't have to be big things. It could be small things like electric toothbrush.
I'm going
to
build a small robot.
Build a bridge, like play a bridge builder on stream.
So much fun.
I've always wanted to play. I know I'm sure this is very different, but I've always wanted to play that bridge constructor Walking Dead game.
Do it. Like, what is stopping
you?
That shit looks fire.
I don't know that it's very different. I think that's exactly what. Right?
Is that what you mean by play a bridge building game?
Yes,
but I'm not gonna like. I'm not gonna get like insight into being an engineer from playing Bridge Constructor Portal or whatever.
It's true. Shocked. No one's saying. Like,
you need to at least understand engineering principles to play those games. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. All right, fair play, fair point. Tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are Greg and M.H. Williams for our Kind of Funny Spotlight, and then Friday is gonna be Greg and Imran Khan. That'll be Imran Khan's last KFGD as a part-time host. Imran,
I don't know if you've ever heard M.H. Williams talk, but he has the best voice in the video game industry.
I'm excited.
Oh, I can't wait to listen.
Yeah. It is silky smooth.
Oh.
If you're watching live right now on Twitch, after this is 30 minutes of Tim playing some of that Super Mario 3D World. And then after, will be Greg and Snowmike Mike playing some Division 2. And Greg will be raising money for Jim Lee in the Book Industry Charitable Foundation. And so watch along, support the cause. Of course, Jim Lee is, I guess, drawing on Greg's PS5. Mm-hmm. I think that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You've heard Greg explain it. Greg will explain it again on the stream. And so stay tuned for that. That should be awesome.
I might hop into that Mario stream briefly.
I might hop into that too, because that sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about the engineer thing again, because the only thing I think of that engineers do is make big things like spaceships. So stick around
they do
for
that.
That.
Too. Like, that is...
they do build, I'm not wrong. They build spaceships and shit, but also they also build a lot of other shit.
Very
engineers do a lot of
things.
Things.
Very small things.
What's a small engineers. Thing an engineer makes?
The unsung
like
heroes.
Everything. Like a mouse.
It's true.
Like the PS5 you own is made by an engineer.
Engineers
big,
are awesome.
Though. It's like, as far as consoles are concerned, that's the biggest one.
I should have chosen a different
color. It's not small the things, thing like the world. PlayStation 5. So I went to the University of Illinois, and that is actually a very big engineering school, and so I had a lot of friends that were and are engineers.
And one of the coolest... ever asked them what they did except for...
No, at no point was I like, so what the fuck do you do? I will say one of my friends...
did they say spaceships, and that was it?
he was like, yeah, build spaceships. One of my friends, his name is Joe. I used to hang out with him all the time. Him and his girlfriend at the time, who now wife, they were very into Borderlands, and I'll play Borderlands with them all the time. He had access to a 3D printer. And you know what this dude did? He went and 3D printed his own version of Settlers of Catan that was Borderlands themed. And nice. It was the coolest cool. shit I had ever seen anybody do. And since then, I've had a strong respect for engineers, because engineers are the fucking dopest people on the planet Earth.
But like, how does that
this episode
to
is
him
dedicated
building
to engineers?
A spaceship. Like, why did you say Settlers of Catan?
Because that's not going to make sense unless I tell a story. If I'm like, oh, Imran's going to go make his own fucking Settlers of Catan set, Borderlands.
All right, thing, all right, we got a stream to go to. We got a stream. Say bye to the kids.
Yeah, patreon.com is kind of funny games. Post show is going to happen now. Stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.